It's good to see all of you this evening. I trust that you are like Carol and Craig and got your happy nappy today after your lunch. I know I got one when I wasn't watching the Braves go into extra innings, so overall it was a good afternoon. Rested up and ready to come back to serve the Lord tonight. If you'd like to, open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6, and we're going to notice a few verses there. This is a book that's filled with numbers. And we find a beautiful passage of Scripture which has been called the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. As we notice here in this passage, the writer here, Moses, writes this prayer, this prayer from God. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. I think we have a song that we sing either in the supplemental or in the hymnal that we use. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. As noted here, it is the blessing of the Lord which Aaron and his sons were to bless the children of Israel with. They were the priesthood for Israel at that time. So this passage is often called the priestly blessing. And that's what we're going to describe it as tonight. The priestly blessing, or it's also called the Aaronic benediction. But I believe there's some things we can learn from this passage. Things we can learn about God, which are just as true today as they were in the days that Aaron was to lead this over the people. Even though we don't serve under the old covenant, we're not under the priesthood of Aaron, but we do have a high priest who desires to bless us just as richly as God did then, if not more so. So to understand what I'm trying to get across here, I want us to look closely at this priestly blessing and define it. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The word bless means to confer well-being and prosperity. That's what God's desire was for His children as they went through the promised land. He wanted them to be blessed with nothing but good, nothing but prosperity. And He promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. The Lord bless you and keep you. And such a promise was conditional, as we're going to see as we go throughout the Scriptures. In Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. God says every facet of your life is going to be blessed. If. Notice the first verse there. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. It was contingent upon you obeying God to receive all of these blessings. So we see that in the future, the failure rather to meet God's conditions brought curses instead of blessings upon the people. You can go on into the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and see that in verses 15 through 19. But the word here of this prayer is the Lord bless you and keep you. This word keep means to provide and to care, to guard and protect. So here God, in this blessing, wants nothing but the best for you, And he wants to provide everything that you need as far as protection and guarding you and caring for you. He wants the best for you, just like you do for your children. And it's a beautiful psalm that we read in Psalm 121 that speaks to God's care. The psalmist says here, beginning in verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God wants to provide you with everything that you need? Not just the things that you need, but the other things that you're not knowing that you need, like protection and care and the love that he shares has for us. But he's just like a shepherd that tends to his sheep. And if you Google pictures of shepherds protecting their sheep, you'll see some of them where they're laying in the gate asleep at night while the sheep are asleep to prevent them from leaving and to prevent wolves and other things from coming in and taking the sheep. The shepherd is a protector as well as a guide or a leader. But the psalmist is talking about God being that shepherd guarding and providing for his sheep. The benediction, this priestly blessing, calls upon God to watch over all of Israel, just like God watches over all of us today. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The next phrase says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. To make his face shine is probably an idiom. It indicates God's smiling favor, or God's smile of favor upon his people, evidenced by his being gracious, according to Winham. And we note how it's used in other places, like Psalm 31 and verse 16. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Psalm 80 and verse 3. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 17. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. God has always, always shown his favor upon his people. And that's what this priestly blessing is asking, is that the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious. And that means to bestow favor, especially which is unmerited. You know, in a sense, it sounds like it's just asking repeatedly for the same thing over and over, doesn't it? Well, what's wrong with that? How many times have you prayed to God for some physical ailment that may be in your life? Maybe you've got a doctor's appointment that's concerning you coming up. Do you just pray for it and you're one and done? Or do you continually pray for it until you get the results that you're hoping for? You're asking for God to shine his face upon you and to be gracious, to bestow upon you his favor, especially when you know you don't deserve it. None of us deserve his grace, his favor to shine upon us. The parallelism here of this benediction suggests that this favor refers to the blessing and keeping by the Lord that was mentioned earlier, maybe even emphasizing that such blessings were unmerited, even though they are still conditional. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. To lift his countenance upon you may be similar to smile upon you. You want God to smile upon you instead of frowning, don't you? That's what the Believer Study Bible would have us to understand, and it suggests a pleasure and affection, according to Allen in his commentary. And it's also, according to Ryrie, an approval and recognition, and it's just like children. We live our lives always wanting our parents' approval, don't we? Especially when we're small, we want mom and daddy to look at us and say, good job, and I appreciate what you've done. Whether it's cleaning the room or putting their dishes in the sink or taking care of younger siblings or whatever the case may be. That's what we're wanting. We're wanting God to smile at us and say, good job. Just like we expect when we're talking to our physical family. The word peace is not just an absence of war, which is what they went through a lot in the Old Testament, but it's a positive state of righteousness and fullness of well-being. For the nation of Israel, God had promised peace if, there's that big word again, if they were faithful. In Leviticus 26 and verse 6, he says, I will give peace to the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. What better promise could there be than to have peace? To know that nature's not going to harm you, and your enemies will not harm you either. And there's also a peace for the individual who trusted God in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Here we read, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We have to trust in God to receive this priestly blessing. So we look at God in this priestly blessing, that God would have Aaron and his sons bless the children of Israel with this benediction, with this prayer, this priestly blessing. And to me, that indicates that God really wanted to bless the nation of Israel and really wanted to provide for his children. Well, today is July the 17th of 2022. Do you think he still wants to do that today? Do you think God still... the 10th, right? I'm a week early. Sorry about that. After this morning, you ought to be thankful. That's the worst I've got. In my defense, I'm working on two different things for next Sunday and this Sunday at the same time. The radio program is being worked on, and I've got the 17th in my mind. If I could change that and move it up, I would, but I can't. So the 10th or the 17th, don't you think God still wants to bless us? God's desire to bless us is still the same today as it was in the days of Aaron being the high priest. He still loves you. He still wants to bless you. He still wants to smile and show his countenance upon you. So this priestly blessing today, the text in number 6 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Really, the Lord wishes to bless us all. But we have to remember, all of this was conditional in the days of Aaron, and is still conditional for us today. Today, those whose blessings are received come through Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And they come especially to those who are described in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes in chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 3 through 12. Where he talks there about the citizens in the kingdom of heaven. And God desires to provide for us today and care for us today, just like he said he did in the days of Moses and Aaron. Again, we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. In that passage there, where Jesus describes worrying about stuff, having anxiety. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 32. And he concludes in verse 33 by telling us to seek first the kingdom of God. God doesn't want you to worry about the stuff in this world. It doesn't mean we're not going to, does it? Because it affects every one of us. Like we talked about this morning, you can't go to Walmart today without being affected by it. You can't drive home without being affected by this world. Somebody's going to pull up beside you at the red light, and you're not going to be able to hear yourself think because they've got the big speakers going and rattling all the windows for the block around. But God still wants to provide for us. He still wants to care for us. But today, just like then, it's conditional. And Jesus described that conditional part of this in verse 33 of Matthew 6. You don't want to worry or have anxiety about stuff in this life. You need to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the priestly blessing will be upon you. The next part of that verse says, "The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you." Just as all spiritual blessings come through Jesus, so God's grace is now manifested through His Son, John chapter 1. Everything that we receive as far as a blessing from God is channeled, if you will, through Jesus Christ. And yes, God desires to show His favor upon us even today. But it is vital that we not receive these blessings, this spiritual favor, this grace from God in vain. How sad that God's grace is so freely extended to the world today, and so few people turn their head and put their hand up because they don't want to receive it. You see it all day long in our lives, don't you? The world rejects God's loving, tender mercies. They don't want any part of it. That's the conditional part of this blessing, is that you have to be willing to be obedient if you will simply obey. The next part says, "The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace." It's through Christ that this peace with God is now possible for anybody that's willing to accept it. Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we continue to pray to our Heavenly Father, He bestows peace upon us through His Son." Paul says in Philippians 4, beginning in verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about everything," he says, "but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," notice this, "will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Do you want that? I don't know of anybody that doesn't want peace in their life. I don't know of anybody that doesn't want this security that comes from serving the loving and living God. The Father is willing to give us this peace. The question is, do we accept it? Are you willing to accept it? What we've been looking at tonight is called the priestly blessing. How God in the Old Testament wanted to bless His children, the nation of Israel, under the Old Covenant, through His priests and through Aaron's priesthood. We have noted that the same sort of blessings are now available to us today. But the blessings of God are bestowed upon us through His Son, Jesus Christ, who the Hebrew writer says today is our high priest. In Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." There's our obedience, our simple obedience. Hold fast to what you have believed. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, I sometimes make the point that people in this world, Christians included, want God to be the emergency thing on the wall. We want Him to stay out of our life until some crisis hits, and then we want to be able to break the glass, pull the lever, and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready for You now." It doesn't work that way. Verse 16 here tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Come without any timidity and offer your prayers and supplications, your thanksgivings to God. As he says there in the second half of verse 16, that we may obtain this mercy, God's smiling face, and find grace to help in time of need. You know, it's funny. You go through life, just like when I worked in the secular world, and you know, worked at Cook's Pest Control and other places, people know you're Christian. The only time they ask you to pray for them is when they're in trouble. The only time that I ever had people ask me to pray for them is when there was sickness in their family. You ever have that happen to you in your work environment? People know you're a Christian and they come to you, would you pray for me? My grandson is sick, my child is sick, my wife is sick, my husband is sick. You see, we need to pray on a regular basis. That's part of the condition, obedience. The point of this lesson is very simple. It's the priestly blessing. The blessing today that we receive in Christ. It's very simple, but yet when you think about it, it's very profound. Because we receive these blessings through our high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's how God is blessing his people today. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. So the question is, are you in Jesus Christ? Are you in his kingdom? You know, God causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. He's going to take care of everybody. But those that are his children have blessings that the rest of the world does not have. The Israelites had blessings when they were being obedient that the rest of the world didn't have. So if you're here tonight and you're not in Christ, you've never put Christ on in baptism, you don't have those blessings that are promised through Christ. But you can receive those blessings. And he offers them, God does, through his high priest, our high priest. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. And let's notice verses 26 and 27 as he closes out this chapter. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you been baptized into Christ? Have you put Christ on in baptism? Then you can receive these priestly blessings. But if you've never put Christ on, then you can't. But I want you to understand also that even though you may have put Christ on in baptism, there is the possibility that you could lose these blessings by being unfaithful, by allowing sin to reign in your life. So, if you're here tonight, if you've never put Christ on in baptism, this is your opportunity to start receiving these priestly blessings. But if you are here and you've obeyed the gospel, but you're allowing the world to dictate your life, then you're not going to receive these blessings because, as we noticed from Deuteronomy, it's contingent upon if you are obedient. So if you're here tonight and you're not fully obedient to the Word of God, then in essence, you're going to be cut off from this inheritance. You're going to be cut off from receiving these blessings that God is so richly and lovingly wanting you to have. But you can come back. You can come back to the fold by confessing your sins as public as they may be. It may be that you're here tonight and that doesn't even apply to you. But you're struggling with whatever. Maybe it's just a dark cloud hanging over your life and you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. And you just desire the prayers of the saints to help you get through those this time. Whatever condition you find yourself in, we are here and willing and able to help you. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. will assist you in being baptized, will take your confession, as public as it may be, and pray with you on your behalf. So if you're here tonight and you find yourself in need of responding, please make your